bring Christian greetings to each of you in the worthy name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be gathered together again and worship. We enjoyed the service, enjoyed the singing of the hymns, the devotional that was brought to us, and also the Sunday school lesson. As I pondered a message for today, there's a thought that's been going through my mind this week. It kept circling around in my mind. It was a springboard from something in my personal devotions. And as I thought of the day today being Father's Day and thought of what to share for Father's Day, you know, sometimes they say that for Mother's Day, the ministers preach a sermon that is maybe more tender and more feeling, more comforting and encouraging, but on Father's Day, they really pour it on. They tell the fathers how it ought to be. So as a pastor, I pondered, what would the Lord have me to share today? As I looked at the landscape of our congregation and the different ages and the different needs that are present here among us, and I'd like to share with you what God simply laid on my heart to share today. Before I introduce to you the text and the verse, just giving you just a little bit of a bird's eye view of our day yesterday as a family. Most of you may know, if you saw WhatsApp status anyway, we were in New York City. And we enjoyed Manhattan and walking around. And Manhattan did a lot of walking. But it was pretty obvious that Father's Day was coming today. We enjoyed a picnic lunch in a park up there for supper, and there were lots of people in the park having picnics and parties. And as we were on the ferry ride, we would hear people talking about Father's Day. Families, Father's Day was being talked about. And one had to wonder, you know, really, how are the homes of this vast amount of people? I had to think, you know, are the homes intact? Most likely not. Father, who is Father? Your heart goes out to them. In relation to our Sunday school lesson, there's a thought that I was thought about sharing. One of the things that stands out to me about our trip yesterday, and a number of things, but quite a few people would come up to us and ask us who we are. One man said to my brother-in-law, he says, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but he said, he has a question, are you Jews or are you Amish? Well, we're neither. Another man came up to Charlisa. We were walking, and I saw that someone came up to her and stopped her. Clean, shaven, middle-aged man, and he started asking her, and I walked up to her side. He said, who are you? He said, I think he said he's from Newfoundland, right? I think he was from Europe, but he said, I've never seen this. He said, your garb is different. That is ringing in my mind. Your garb is different. I have never seen this. So it gave us an opportunity to say who we are, what we believe. We believe the Bible. He didn't think we're Amish because he said, I see you use technology. Amish don't use technology. Well, I said, it's hard to understand. But your garb is different. Let us never be ashamed that your garb is different. Because to some people, that's what they see, and that's what that leads them in. But let us be sure that it's not only the garb that's different, but that the heart is different too. Well, the subject for today, turn with me to Psalm 103. The title of the sermon today is simply this: Like as a Father. Like as a Father. It was shared with me that maybe I should simply have the title As a Father. But that is not what was going in my mind over and over and over again as I went about my duties. It was the phrase, like as a father. Psalm 103. I'm going to read Psalm 103, and then I'm going to read a verse from Psalm 68 and a verse from 2 Thessalonians. Like as a father. And I'll tell you more about my heart's burden, or my heart's inspiration, rather. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I'm going to pause there for a moment. What I would like for you, I'm just going to tell you here, what I'd like for you to do with me is just to allow your heart, your soul, to muse about our Father God. Muse about his benefits toward us. Fathers, I would like for you to think deeply about like as a father. I'm going to tell you, I told you I was going to wait, but I'm going to tell you here so that you can just think about it as we read. We fathers understand our responsibility by looking at what God says about how he relates to his children. He gives us an insight by saying, like as a father does, so do I. Like as a father does, so do I. Do you get what I'm trying to say? As you read the Bible over and over again, the Bible talks about how the Father, God, relates to his children. He talks about how, like as a father does, so do I. Now, not all of us had the same father. Some of our earthly fathers may have disappointed us. Furthermore, maybe we do not know who our earthly father is. But you know what? The most important thing in life is that we have found God, our Father. Because it is in him that we can find the strength to meet the journeys that surpass how we know how to handle them. It is in God our Father. You see, we fathers, as we father and as we endeavor to be dads and as we endeavor to be nurturers, we find ourselves limited, don't we? We're not sovereign. We cannot do just anything. You know how many times when you have a child who has a pain, who has an ache, and you wonder what is wrong, and you would just so much enjoy just to take it away, not have them bear that pain. Well, God, our Father, is sovereign. We're going to notice that as we read here. A number of questions came to my mind as I thought about this. How am I doing as a father? Do I love my children? Do I love my children's mother like Christ loves the church? Am I selfless in giving? Do I put before my own comforts the comforts of my family? Do I provide and protect them? The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Do I shepherd them like God shepherds his people? I found that very challenging in my own life and very inspirational as I thought about my responsibility as a father and how God says, like as a father does, that's how you know how I'll care for you. Fathers, let's rise to the responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility, a serious one. Wow, how am I doing? You know, sometimes I fail to portray the image of the true Heavenly Father. And we cannot in our human nature, but God help us. I believe that God takes the heart of a dedicated man, a godly man, and he takes, even amidst his shortcomings, can build something beautiful from his life. Now, let's read Psalm 103. Muse with me, like as a father. We read verse 1, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm going to turn back to Psalm 68 and read verse 5. I'm going to start at verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those who are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Stop reading there. A father of the fatherless. You see, What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We're talking about like as a Father, God our Father. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. God our Father. God our Father. Turning back to Psalm 103. I would like to just look at a number of things. Brother Merle brought out a bunch of these, and some of these will be repetitious. As we think of our Father God and in his care for his children, the psalmist is likening the pity that God has for his children to the pity a father has for his earthly children. Malachi 3, verse 17 says this, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Do you know this morning that each of us is special to God? Each of us, every heart, every soul that is here, is special to God. God loves you and God cares for every need of your heart. Yesterday, as I stood atop the One World Trade Center Observatory, how many were ever there? Raise your hand. Did you ever go up the One World Trade Center? If you have an opportunity, I would say do it. It's worth it. Because it can impact your life as you think about the vastness. Aside from being in an airplane, I don't know how many hundred feet we were up. 900 feet? 1,000 feet? I'm not sure. We were up pretty high. And you can get right to the edge. It's glass right here, and you can see right now. You can get right up there. And you're way up. And you can walk the whole way around. And as I stood there, and I just looked out over that vastness. Little cars down there. Helicopter going down there. But you know what really struck me? Here I am, and I am seeing all these buildings, skyscrapers that are lower than where I am, seeing boats and ships out in the water and you name it. But you know what? I'm limited. But I serve a God who can zero in, and he knows exactly what's going on down there in the lowest part of that other skyscraper. And he knows that down there is Bob. And Bob is having a problem. But not only that, he knows everybody, everywhere, all the time. And it's really not a problem for him. As a father, I'm limited in what I can do. But am I committed to God in my heart? To the depth that I, through the grace of God and the aid of His Spirit in my life, could I point my children past me to the Father? You see, that is where they're going to find their direction, their stability in Him. Yes, my influence has a great impact on their life. Tremendous impact. But they need to see the Father, God, through me. And they see that as I take up the responsibilities and understand that God says, like as a father does, so do I. And as we study the Word, fathers, and as we open our hearts and we look at it and we say, you know what? That's what God says my responsibility is. You know what? I need to measure. I need to change. You see, our children one of the ways that our children will see the Father God is when Dad loves the Scripture. Dad loves Mom. And Dad points the children to the Bible. And then Dad lives the Bible. And that there are times when Dad says, you know what, family? I'm sorry, but I responded wrong. That's not the way I should have responded. That's not the way God wants me to respond. And I'm sorry. No, God doesn't have to tell us He's sorry. But you know what? Our Father forgives. Our Father forgives. I want to move now. Before I get off on a bunny trail here, I would like to look at God, our provider. God, our provider. And we know as fathers, it is our responsibility to provide. And I know that you want to do that. But there are times when we find ourselves struggling with that, don't we? How to provide? What is the best? And we wish we could do more. I'd like to list. I have 17. Myrna, what did you have? 15? I have 17. And both us together, we just scratched the surface. We don't even scratch the surface because God is so much more. But let's just look at these. What are listed here in Psalm 103. I'm going to read them to you. Like as a father does. And we find ourselves bumping up against a block wall, if you will, and we say, you know what? That's beyond the scope of what I can do. Loved ones today, we find ourselves as fathers and mothers coming to that place where we find ourselves up against, this is all, we can't go anymore. When I got awake the other morning and there was water running down through the kitchen ceiling and through the basement, I didn't know what to do anymore. What do you do? Well, call Brother Jim, that helps. Just somebody to talk to. But furthermore, we prayed too. But there are times when we come up against it and that we can't go. That where do we go? We turn to the Father. Listen to me as I give this list. God forgives. God forgives because we, all of us, need forgiveness. God heals our diseases. Oh, as I contemplated that one, I thought, how does that fit? Where is that? What does that mean? It cannot mean that this is a blank check and God heals every disease all the time forever. There's a time when there will be no death, there will be no dying. I think what it does mean, though, is that if I do experience healing in my heart and in my life, in my physical body, I experience that healing because there is a God. If there was no God, if God was not who he is, I believe on the authority of God's word that there would not be healing. Because the devil is the author of confusion. He is the one who brings death and infirmity. And it was through sin that the world came under the curse. And the process of physical death started. And we know that someday that will be reversed. But when I do experience healing, I cut my finger and it heals. That's God, who is giving the healing. Yes, I think it's proper, and most definitely it is proper, to seek medical attention. We know we do not just go on and wow, we cut our leg open, and well, it's going to heal. It'll be fine. No, it's proper to seek medical attention. But the healing comes because God is. And if God chooses not to heal, it is rather because he has a purpose beyond our imagination that he seeks to seek glory from that we do not understand. Where am I? God crowns man with loving kindness and tender mercies. Think of these, loved ones. Loving kindness, tender mercies. Like as a father, God satisfies our mouth. If a child that is hungry, oh, we love to satisfy their mouth, don't we? God renews. God renews. Oh, thanks be to him for his renewing power. God provides with righteousness and judgment. Verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God made known his ways to Moses and to Israel. You do not have to turn here, but I want to read to you some precious verses from Exodus 33. I enjoy these verses very, very much. Exodus 33, reading just a few verses here. This is talking about Moses. Moses prays for God's presence. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me." There's a situation here that Moses has. "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Moses is saying, "God, really, show me." And he says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." What I had said earlier, God knows us. He knows at the bottom of that skyscraper, that building, that wherever it is, "I know thee by name." Furthermore, in the verses he says, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. Now notice what God also does. The end of here, in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The tender heart of God took Moses, and he placed in the cleft of the rock, and I don't know, it says here that I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. The tender care of God. God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Number 10. God has not dealt with us according to our sin. Verse number 11. God is great in mercy, as heaven is high above the earth. He is great in mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Number 12, God removes our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. As I stood up there in that skyscraper and I looked as far as I could see, God removes. How far is the east from the west? It just travels on and on. God pities us, number 13. He has pity, comfort. God remembers, verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. This verse means that God knows our constitution. God knows our constitution. What does that mean? God knows your makeup. God knows the temptations peculiar to Dave. God knows the temptations peculiar to each of you. He knows your makeup. He knows. My God knows. He knows what we need. I remember a couple of years ago, being at Elm Street's children's ministry one Thursday evening, there was a young lad there who had an issue of something going on. He was upset. He was locked up in his mind. And he was unruly. And the young man trying to tend to him and care for him was feeling exasperated and having a difficulty. And he asked for a certain brother, another young man, where is he? Where is this other brother? Because he knew that if this other young man comes, he understands this young boy better. And you know what? When the other young man was found and he came to this other young boy, the young boy didn't calm down immediately, but you could see that there was a connection, there was a relationship, and the process of unraveling began. Soon the young lad was sitting with his mentor, who understood his constitution. He understood him, no, not totally, but he understood him in a little bit of a different way, and he was able to work with him for whatever reasons. Not that the other young man was doing it wrong, but there's a relationship. There was a relationship there. God understands your constitution. He knows what you need. God remembers our makeup. God, number 15, God's mercy is everlasting. It will never run out. It's everlasting. You know, as a dad, so it's not that our mercy should never run out. But you know, sometimes in body we just get weary. We just need to go take a nap. We just need to get away from this situation for a little bit. But God, that's not our God. He's always there. God has prepared his throne in the heavens, number 16, prepared throne. His kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. We serve a glorious God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He is God, our creator. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103, verse 14. God has divine ownership of us. We are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is God, our redeemer. As I've said before in verse 14, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Well, that's actually later on in the verse. No, verse 14. He remembers that we are dust. Knows our makeup. We talked about that. The engineer who has engineered a certain machine, when there are troubles and problems with that machine, you know, he is the best to be called upon to diagnose the problem, because he knows it, he understands it. Well, what is my response? What is my response? Brother Merle shared with us as well. I want to read just a few verses from Isaiah 43. The song that the chorus sang, I think it was this last time, came to my mind as I was studying. I have called thee by name. Isaiah 43, just a few verses here. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, he is God our creator. O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am thy God, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, why give men for thee and people for thy life? Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and go gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Talks about bringing forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears, letting all nations be gathered. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Like as a father. That is our God. That is our God. Our Father. What is my response to this? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, how much room I have to grow in this. I see wholehearted commitment and gratitude. I see to have this gift of this kind of a father real in my life, I must fear the Lord. And what does that mean? Well, fearing the Lord means keeping his commandments, following in his ways, living with his spirit in my heart, forgetting not his benefits, not forgetting them, but keeping them, binding them about our neck, keeping them in the forefront of my life. We do that by studying the word daily. Oh, that we would study the word. Hearkening to his voice, hearing him speak. You know, we live in perilous times, and ever since the fall of man, there has been perilous times, hasn't there been? There has been trouble. There has been times of turmoil. But you know, there's also been the promise of redemption. There has also been redemption realized. There has been light through the darkness. There has been calmness through the storm because of our Father in heaven. I'd like to close with a verse from Matthew 5 and verse 45. This is talking about Jesus' discourse about loving our enemies. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We're talking about our response. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You see, all this God is all for thee, a Father all our own. But we have a responsibility too. And that responsibility is to love, to obey, to walk in his ways, to show that love to others as we meet them, and as we walk, and as we live, and as fathers today, it is our responsibility to love our wives, to love our family. God tells us through his word, as we read it, he says, like as a father does, so do I. But you know what? He does so much more. Let us kneel to prayer. Father in heaven,